So we begin. Today I want to do Parashat Ki Tisa. I want to do the Chet HaEgel. We never, in this class, from what I recall, we never properly discussed Chet HaEgel. Never, meaning the last 2 years, from what I recall. I mean, and also it's not, I didn't underline all the stuff on my Chumash, but I would have last year. So we're gonna discuss the beginning of Chet HaEgel. Obviously we're not going to discuss all of it. And I want to talk about the Luchot, and I want to talk about what caused the Chet HaEgel, because obviously the fundamental question that emanates from Chet HaEgel is how in the world did it happen? Right? You know, how could it happen? How could the Jewish people who had just received the Torah fall so far so fast?
So this is apologetic.
What?
Is this apologetic?
Am I going to be apologetic? Yes. I mean...
You mean about the Torah?
About? No. The Ma'amad Har Sinai, they already had Ma'amad Har Sinai. Moshe Rabbein, they had the experience of hearing two of the Dibrot and the Aseret HaDibrot, and that, you know, it was in Parashat Yitro. Mm-hmm. And chronologically, it already happened. Then Moshe went up to Har Sinai, and while Moshe is still on Har Sinai,
get the whole Torah.
We know that. How do they know what they're getting? You know what I'm saying? But we don't know what they have no idea. Moshe said, I'll see you later. I'll be back. And that was it. What?
He disappears.
And so, and that's the.
I think that the whole cycle was very fast. Imagine people that were in slavery,
right?
And they get out of Mitzrayim. They don't know anything,
right?
And it's like very, very fast. Everything goes like really, really fast, and then they get this Torah, and they have to like. Live up to it. And
that reminds me of the Baal Tshuva that does everything too quickly.
Yeah, and then,
you know?
And then they
fall
quickly.
It just
hits them, you know?
Yeah.
Like, well,
obviously, is that apologetic? Is that apologetic?
I mean, it's
interesting. Like, when people, and I didn't have that much experience with Baal Tshuva, but we had some experience, and it was very tricky to try to tell them, okay, this you should do, and that I wouldn't necessarily do yet. Because they hear and they read on the internet, especially now. And they're, well, what about this? And very often also, it's like one spouse wants to go more fast than the other spouse, and they're not ready for the whole thing at the same time. So you want to pace them. The only problem with your explanation, your theory is, you know, God didn't know that. You know, Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't know who he was dealing with people. You know, where does the sinfulness come in?
Maybe that's the point. It's not that easy. It's not just one of these things you just... easily.
Okay.
It's gonna require effort, and it's not just something we're gonna, you know, just do it.
Well, what Hashem really want them to do at that point? He wasn't asking them to do very much.
It's the only way, really.
All he was really asking them to do is don't worship idols, and that didn't work out so well. You know what I'm saying? believe in God, hang out at the mountain, and don't worship idols, and it didn't go so well. So the question is, why not? Okay, so the first thing I want
to... I need to move.
No, I'm fine. I don't know. Okay, first thing I want to start with is Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Yud Chet. Because the Luchot Habrit, the Luchot, play a role. Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Yud Chet. The Luchot play an important role in the discussion of the Chet HaEgel. What happened to the Luchot? What are the role of the Luchot? And so it just seems like, you know, when you read about the Luchot, it's important to know. And also, I had a really cool story about the Luchot yesterday. I had a good Dvar Torah I heard from a furniture salesman.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Yeah. Furniture salesman.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll tell you.
Is that what the whole shiur is based on?
No. Vayitena Moshe kichaloto ledaber ito v'har Sinai shno Luchot ha'idut. Luchot Even Ktuvim Be'etzba Elohim. So when God finished talking to Moshe, he gave him, when he finished talking to him, two Luchot Ha'idut. Luchot, tablets of testimony. Luchot Even, they were Luchot of stone, written with the finger of God. So Ibn Ezra already points out, what does it mean written with the finger of God? Not really God's finger. But meaning written by God. And why did it say God's finger? Because that's how it speaks. Because it says it's the Torah speaks in the way of mankind. Although, what?
Amorphism?
No, anthropomorphism.
Yes.
Anthropomorphism. Okay. Meaning God didn't, but how did God really write the Luchot? No, Moshe did not write them. God wrote them. God probably thought about it a little bit and, you know, conjured up the Luchot. But that's what says it means. Moshe wrote the second Luchot. Right. This is a critical point. It's a very important point. So it's interesting to know that the Torah tells us two things about these Luchot. Right? On the one hand, they're Luchot Evan. They're rock, stone. And on the other hand, they're written with the hand of God. Right? Which to me symbolizes a very interesting duality. Stone, rock, is the most...
stable.
I was going to say...
Fragile. Marble?
Yeah.
Marble.
Yeah, think about it. The most solid, the most earthly kind of substance you could have. You know what I'm saying? What's stone? It's like hardened rock, dirt. It's from the earth. It's, you know, when we say stone, where do we get stone from? We hew it, we carve it out of the earth. And then on the other hand, it's written with the hand of God. And we all know, you're familiar to whatever degree with with the Midrashim about the Luchot Ha'Evan, you know, Ketuvim Be'etzav Elohim. You familiar with the Midrashim?
No.
Okay, good. So I'll just share with you a couple of interesting ones. What?
They're fun.
The Midrash says, the Midrash says that it was written with the hand of God. What do you mean written with the hand of God? Two interesting things. I can't find it. There's no letter like this. But he says, first of all, if you look here, it says, Mikra'ot Gedolot. Midrash says that the tablets were readable on both sides.
They were carved all the way through.
Hewn all the way through. So Mikra'ot Gedolot, the letters went all the way through. Okay? But then if you turned it around, it was still the right way. Right. You know, you understand what I'm saying? Another thing the Midrash says, interestingly, is that, like, you know, you have a mem or a samech. So if you carve it all the way through, you get a hole. But in the Luchot HaBrit, it wasn't like that. That the inside of the mem stayed.
Cool.
Right. Like, nowadays, you can do it with magnets or something. But, you know, cool special effects. Right? When you hear Midrashim like that, what's the point of a midrash like that? What's, especially the midrash that says that it was written on both sides the same way. What's the midrash trying to say? You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, it's like something that you would see in a movie.
That's Elohim.
What meaning? What?
Yeah.
Right. These are not. These luchot are not of this world.
Right.
Right.
Does the midrash say the same about the second
luchot? No. That's exactly the point. The second luchot. Who wrote the second luchot?
Moshe
wrote them. Right. Which is a very important distinction, which we might not get to today. I have another question. What was the point of the Luchot? Why did God give Moshe these Luchot? You know what I'm saying? The Ten Commandments, or whatever was written, let's say assume that the Aseret HaDibrot was written on them. I'm not entirely sure we assume that correctly.
Like the Aseret HaDibrot were written on the Luchot?
Yes. What was written on the Luchot?
I thought the Aseret HaDibrot.
Why did you think that?
The Midrashim seemed to imply that.
Where? It says it's written with the hand of God. What was written on it?
Because the Zachor and Shamor, which one was written on the Luchot?
That was only in the Ten Commandments. That. Meaning, it is interesting that in every shul it has the Ten Commandments. But,
no, but
is it clear that
there were discussions about which one you put on?
I don't remember.
Which one was on the Luchot, Zachor or Shamor?
Really?
That was my understanding.
Okay, let's assume the Ten Commandments are written on it. So just for argument's sake.
So it makes it tangible. Something.
As opposed to a Sefer Torah, which they're going to get? You know, one of the issues is that the Aseret HaDibrot isn't more significant necessarily than any other mitzvah in the Torah. Kodesh Baruch Hu said it, Ma'amad Har Sinai, and they are important, but they're not more important than, you know, there's a whole issue about whether you stand up for Aseret HaDibrot or you don't stand up. We do stand up, but is it more significant? Is it the same? What's the point of giving them these luchot? Are the people ever going to see it?
No, it's in the arrow.
It's in the arrow. So it's not tangible because they're never going to see it.
So Ma'amad Har Sinai, when they got on Shavuot, like when the whole, I guess, revelation took place, they didn't get anything.
They didn't get anything then. Right, it was an experience.
This was later.
And now he's giving it to Moshe and telling him to take to the people.
Well, they're physical. Israel's physical people. So
okay.
They kind of need something physical. They can't have a Avodah Zarah, but they need something to represent the Torah and Hashem.
Isn't that so interesting? That on the one hand, this is a conundrum that you deal with. On the one hand, as physical people, we need physical symbols. But on the other hand, we're forbidden from taking symbols that are too symbolic, that are too
physical.
Because the Torah wasn't written down yet.
Okay. But it was going to be written down.
And eventually, but they needed something right then and there.
They needed something right then and there. That's
physical.
Really? I mean, where was... Okay, interesting. It could be, but it's hard to say. Isn't our whole religion not about that? Isn't our whole religion...
Our whole religion is about that. It's about taking the physical and using it for spiritual purposes.
Yeah, but it's not about us needing physical things in order to worship, necessarily.
Of course it is. How do you read the Torah if you don't... You can't... You're not allowed to say to read the part... Create a Torah by heart. You have to read it from a Sefer Torah. That's part of the Avodah. That's part of what
you're reading a book. That's correct. You're reading a book, but you're not using the item... You're not using the item, the ritual item.
Any ritual, like the whole Mishkan?
Any ritual we do, we use the item in order to worship God. We use the lulav, we use the shofar, we use it, we read the Torah. Okay? What was the purpose of this thing? These tablets. For what? They're never going to see it. Ever. They're never allowed to see it. They're not even allowed to see the thing within which... Right? The luchot are held. So then it must be something more symbolic.
So they know it exists.
Moshe's never going to see it either. He's never going to open the Aron, is he?
Who's
going to
open the Aron?
No one. Right?
So then isn't it more like a gift of remembrance? Or like of a moment in time where there was the brit made?
Like or a symbolic... The only thing I can think of is maybe something like that, a symbolic presence.
Like a remembrance, like we know it's in there.
Of Har Sinai.
Yeah. Like
interesting.
Could be.
It could be, right. You know what I'm saying? It's almost like the arrow.
It's like
it's there.
Like Hashem. We know that it's there, but we can't see it.
Very good. Okay. Exactly that.
You know what I mean?
Yes, it has to be something like the tangible presence of the untangible of God. That you know that it's there. It has to be there. And yet you can't sense it. You can't see it. Okay? So
it's
if that's true...
It's not touchable. It's not...
Right.
It's just in your context.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, if you think about it, then there's a certain actually powerful beauty in that as well. That there's an inherent, that is the paradox of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That we know He's there, and we need to feel His presence, and we need to know that He's there, and we need to have something tangible. And at the same time, we can't and we don't. Right. And you know what I'm saying? And the more you try to see Him, you know what I'm saying, the less you're going to see. So it's just interesting that a Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted us to have something that represents that. Right, that we know is there that we can't see. And it's also interesting if you think about the Aron itself, the Aron which was held, right? The Midrashim say, we didn't do the Aron this year. If you recall, the Midrashim, what did the Midrashim say about the Aron?
It carried itself.
And what about the Kruvim? The Kruvim, they faced inwards or they faced outwards. Now there's also something really interesting about the poles and the length of the poles as opposed to the length of the Kodesh HaKadoshim.
They were longer.
They were longer than the actual space in which it belonged. Right, so again, the luchot didn't make sense.
And the whole
dimensions.
Yes.
The dimensions are off. Correct.
And where you couldn't stand and hold it on your shoulders.
Correct. The luchot don't make sense, and they go in the aron, which doesn't make sense, right? In which nobody can see, and no one, and so they and they said that the aron, the beams, they jutted out into the parochet, so people could see at least that the aron was there. So it's almost like this representation of the presence of God without the explicit knowledge that God is there. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to Moshe in these Luchot Evan. You look at the world. Is God in the world? Are the letters standing up? Is it a miraculous thing?
Yes.
But it's also the most physical thing. It's also the most physical presence. And God is not there.
And hidden.
Interesting. Okay. Now we go to the Chet HaEgel. So that's what God gave to Moshe to take down. Vayar ha'am ki boshesh Moshe laredet min ha'har. Okay? The nation saw. Don't look at English. Too late. Okay. The nation saw that Moshe boshesh. Yeah, that's the word. That's the word. Anybody want to help me out here and tell me what boshesh means?
This is when the people saw that Moses...
I know what it says. Tarried.
This is so long.
Like
coming down from
boshesh. Delayed. Okay, laredet min ha'har. It means delayed in some way. That's what all the parshanim mean. Okay, what does it sound like? What?
Doesn't mean hesitate.
I don't know. I mean, your other examples in Tanakh where the word boshesh.
Or reluctant.
Wow, Moshe was reluctant. You're just trying to translate from context.
Really happy to be there, didn't want to go down.
Well, the only other word that I could think of from boshesh that's similar is
busha.
But that's a totally different word, and you don't know if it's really related at all. I'm not enough of a linguist to be able to say that. Okay? But Moshe was late. Well, there's only one problem. Right? What does it mean to be late?
Not coming when people are expecting
him. Right. Right. How do we know when people expected him? We don't know what
did
Moshe...
Did he like, go up and say, I'll be back in 40 days?
Yeah, right.
Is that what he said to
him? Well, we're going to see Rashi in a second. So let's see, before, let's finish the pasuk and then we'll see Rashi. Very famous Rashi, based on a very, very famous Midrash. Well, read,
he,
let's read the psukim.
Did he know he was going to be up there for 40 days?
How would he know? Unless God told him...
Did Hashem tell him beforehand?
Very good. So what does it mean, Boshesh? How could you be late if nobody ever told you how long you're going to be? Unless...
Unless he didn't tell him.
What if he didn't tell them?
No, unless he did
Moshe says, okay, I'll be back. How long will you wait until you start getting nervous? Week? 10 days? How long do you wait until you say...
Depends
who's
late.
What?
Depends. He's late and, you know, what the guidelines were and, you know.
He didn't say anything. God called him, Moshe said. God called me. I'll see you. He didn't even know. By the way, did Moshe know he was coming back?
Was there another crisis that was brewing?
At the end of, where was it? Maybe at the end of Patitzaveh. Yeah. Is that ours? She's hanging. What does it say? One second. Does it say that? What does it say Moshe went up to the mountain? I should know this. What does it say? One second. Here. I'm just reading to you. Perakap Dalit Pasuk Yudbet. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe. God said to Moshe, Ale Eli Hahara. Come up to the mountain. Veheyesham. And you'll be there. Ve'nalecha Luchot Ha'Even. I'll give you the Luchot Ha'Even. The two tablets. I'm in Chav Dalit Yudbet. Just hold it if you want. And I'll give you the Torah and the mitzvot. I guess the understanding is, if you give me the Torah and the mitzvot, I'm coming back. Okay, let's skip to Tetvav. Okay. Okay, skip to Pasuk Yudchet. Vayavo Moshe betoch ha'anan vayal el ha'har. Vayihi Moshe ba'har arba'im yom va'arba'im layla. What did Moshe tell the people? Nothing. Yeah, he says, I'm going to bring you back to Torah. How long would you wait?
But maybe that was the precedent, the 40 days and 40 nights.
No, he's up there. This is it, the 40 days and 40 nights. We know now that he was going to be there for 40 days and 40 nights. How long would you wait until you started getting nervous?
A week?
You wait like 40 minutes, right?
Maybe there was another crisis that sort of, like maybe, you know, while everything is, you know, can conduct itself under, you know, fine, it's okay. But
right.
Once they needed Moshe for whatever reason.
Which was?
We're not told.
Right. I want to talk about that, Tammy, you use that word impatience. Mm. Right. It's a very good word. It's a very powerful word. Meaning the whole thing, who said this? I mean, Mary said that the whole thing is fast. Right, how long has it been since they left Mitzrayim? Oh, I'm sorry. You said it? How long has it been since they left Mitzrayim?
3 days.
A month and a half. So Moshe, they're a month and a half with him, and then he leaves for a week and 2 weeks.
He leaves them in the desert.
In the middle of the desert. They have food?
Nope. Yes, they have the
mud. Right, the mud. Right. And the mud clearly didn't run out, otherwise they would have starved to death.
And they have water.
And what about him? Nothing. Did they know that? I mean, I figure if the man can come down for them, it would make sense to figure that the man could come down for him too, no? I mean, you figure that God would give him kosher food. It would be double wrapped.
It
wouldn't explode on the plate. On the plateau? I thought it was on the microwave. Okay. Uh-huh. Let's go back to Lamed Bet. Let's get back. Are you back on Lamed Bet? Okay? So Moshe is boshesh. That word boshesh, he's delayed. In order to be delayed, you have to have a previous plan. You have to have an expectation. So either there is no expectation, and then they're just wondering what's going on, or he gave them a plan, and something went wrong. Okay? Vayikahel ha'am al Aaron. They all gathered up against Aaron. Vayomru elav. And they said to him, Kum aseh alanu Elohim. Make for us a God. Asher yelchu lefaneinu, that will go before us. Ki ze Moshe ha'ish asher ha'elanu me'eretz Mitzrayim lo yadanu mehayalo. This man, Moshe, that took us out of Egypt, we don't know what happened to him. What do they want? What are they looking for?
They want like God.
What?
They want
a
God.
A God. The word Elohim is a very interesting word.
Well,
okay?
Yes. But Aaron.
Yes, very good.
Moshe, what Hashem called Moshe, said, you're going to go to Paro, mm-hmm. you will be the Elohim, and Aaron will be the Viatha.
Correct. Very good. The word Elohim doesn't only mean God, it means a...
We're all my Sefer Shemot people.
Yeah, I know.
Is that Elohim?
Yes. Yeah. Right.
I don't remember that.
Atati Elo Elohim.
No. Sure.
Beginning of Perek Zion?
Uh-huh.
Right after the... Hashem El Moshe.
Right after the
Yichud. Re'eh, behold, v'taticha Elohim leparo, v'aron achicha yihye nevi'echa. I have made you an Elohim to Paro. Doesn't mean a God.
What Perek is there?
Perek Zion, Pasuk Aleph. Right. It's there. Okay? I've made you an Elohim. So here, when they say, Kum asei lanu Elohim, it just seems strange though, right? It's one thing for a person to be an Elohim, a ruler. Make for us a ruler, because this Moshe Ha'ish that left, we don't know. So here's the problem. We're going to have a number of different problems. Oh, let's just read on. We'll see the story. Vayomer Alehem Aaron. Aaron says, Parku nizmeh azahab asher ba'aznei nesheichem b'neichem b'b'noteichem v'aviyo elai. Okay, no problem. Take the gold in the ears of your wives and your children and bring it to me. They took off their rings that are in their ears. They brought it to Aaron. He took it from their hands. And he formed it in the cheret. Now I need your help. Dalet. He took it from their hands and he formed it in the mold, and he made it into an egel masecha, a molten, a formed, a shapen calf. Vayomru, and they said, Ela Elohecha Yisrael asher ha'elucha me'eretz Mitzrayim. This is your God, O Israel, who has taken you out of Egypt. Vayar Aaron. Aaron saw. Vayiven mizbeach lefanav, and he built an altar. Vayikra Aaron vayomar, and Aaron called and he said, Chag l'Hashem achar, a holiday to God tomorrow. Vayashkimu mimacharat, and they got up the next day. Vayalu olot, vayagishu shlamim, they offered olot, burnt offerings, and they offered shlamim. Vayeshev ha'am lechol v'shato, and they sat down to eat and drink. Vayakumu litzachek, and they got up. Litzachek means to make mirth, to make merry. And we're going to see what that means as well. What in the world is going on? Yeah, very good, very good. We're going to. There are a lot of things that don't make sense. A lot of things that don't make sense about the story.
To me, it just sounds like he's trying to buy himself time.
Really?
It is. It's like he's okay. Go get this, and he thought maybe it would take a long time, like waiting.
Good. How long did it take?
I don't know.
What?
Not long.
How big? Let's ask some fundamental factual questions. How big was the ego? How much gold did they need? Was it like a little teeny ego? Right. The Midrash says that it was 100 and I'm sorry, Masecha. The gematria of Masecha is 125 kenatrim. Okay? What each one, my guy here says, 1.9 kilo, which total means 240 kilograms, which means 500 pounds of gold.
That's a lot of gold.
Yeah. How long would it take you to collect 500 pounds of gold?
Then you've got to melt it down.
Right.
You've got to shape it.
Has anybody been on a shul committee to do anything? Have you ever been on a, like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We did stained glass windows. You know what the window committee, they did an amazingly fast job. You know how long it took them to finish the windows?
4 years.
2 years. Right, that's fast. Because you got to have the design, and they go over it, and then approve
it.
Right, I'm going to vote on it. Let's assume one person did it himself. How long would it take physically to melt down the gold? Physically. Have you ever been to a blacksmith?
Yeah.
We went to a blacksmith in the summer. You know what it is to melt down? You know how much heat you need in order to melt down that much metal? Even, you know what I'm saying? You know, they it was so interesting. It was really fascinating. We went to this place. It was like an old-time steel mill. And the thing, the reason why they had this steel mill in the middle of central New Jersey was because they had forests they could cut down. And they would cut down the forest, like, you know, a gajillion trees, make out of it charcoal. And out of that charcoal, you know, remember the name of the place? I don't remember what the name of the place was. I don't remember. It was a really cool place. And they would cut, they would make, they used tons of that charcoal just to heat the thing, to smelt down enough metal in order to make, you know, fire engines or whatever. I mean, it's a huge undertaking. And here I'm supposed to believe that our own HaKohen, in how long? How long did it take to make this Egel Masecha? To make this molten Egel? What?
When you read it, it sounds like...
Yeah. He just like, you know, he took out a pen and paper and he drew it. Doesn't it sound like that? How long did it take?
Doesn't say.
What is it? How long? What is the...
Several days.
What is the absolute minimum that could possibly take?
A week minimum.
At least. Of just the work of collecting...
To me, I know you think whatever. To me, it just sounds like a delay tactic. Like he's just, in his heart to heart, davening if Moshe is going to come down that mountain.
Yeah. Here's the problem, and even Ezra raises this problem. We might see him inside. What is the Egel? Because if the Egel is Avodah Zarah, and if somebody came to you and said, I want to worship idols and I need you to help me, and you knew that if you could just push them off a week, so then would you start saying, okay, you know what? Why don't we build a cross? But it's got to be a good cross. Why don't we do that together? And when we finish our cross, in the hopes that, you know, Johnny comes home in time, in the hopes that, let's build the cross together. Would you do that?
Maybe. Totally logical. Like, instead of creating this whole confrontation.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that's the alternative. To say, no,
right.
Yeah, like he maybe felt that was worse. Like, we do kind of do that with our kids sometimes. Like,
with idolatry?
Well,
not really, no. Right. There's a limit beyond which we won't go.
What's getting me is that they're looking for, it says, a son of Elohim.
Right, Moshe Kron.
So they're saying, like, it's almost like they're referring to Moshe as the God. Like, they're not looking for a representative to God. They're trying to replace Moshe, it seems to me.
Yes.
It's not like they're actually looking for a God. So
What's the problem? Yes, they're trying to replace Moshe, I would agree. What three words are the problem, are the key problem with no. If Elohim means a leader or a ruler, that's not a problem. What is the problem? If they're looking to replace Moshe, that's great, then it should be fine.
Right.
No.
That he's a man.
No. Moshe Ha'ish, so Moshe was a man. What's the real problem then would be, Asher He'elanu Me'eretz Mitzrayim. Really? Moshe took you out? That, and you think you could solve the problem if you just replace Moshe? That was the whole point? And let me ask you another, let me ask you another theoretical problem. Let's say they make an Egel. Asei lanu Elohim. How is that thing going to get them into Eretz Canaan? You know what I'm saying?
But they came from a mentality where it was very common to believe that idols helped you. So
you could make an idol that was then going to... Where did Moshe come from? Moshe just be lucked out in Moshe? Moshe's gone.
Why did they ask Aaron to be an Elohim for them?
I think that was obvious. I think it was obvious.
Why?
It was clear he was not the guy. You know what I'm saying?
He would have been if he could have been.
Yeah, if he would have been, he wouldn't have made Moshe in the first place. He's like, you know, the second in command. He's a good second in command. That was his role. What?
To the
ego. Vice president.
The vice president's supposed to be able to step in.
Yeah, but we never... You notice that the president always picks the guy that he knows would be the worst possible guy. You know what I'm saying?
Everyone's always imagining something.
Right. You know, that was like the big claim against George Bush the first. Right. The big thing when they were going for re-election was, the thing was quail. A heartbeat away. That was, I remember that vividly, that the Democrats, right, you know what I'm saying, were like, would you vote for this guy knowing that if anything happened to him, you're stuck with Dan Quayle who can't spell potato. You know, you remember that?
Yeah.
What?
Same thing happened with McCain in this election.
Yeah, and what happened? Anyway, that's okay. Let's go back to Rashi. We got to read the Rashi.
One more thing that's sort of getting me also yeah. is that Aaron said, take the gold from your wives, your daughters.
Yes,
and it says, and your sons.
Excellent. Very astute. The Midrash Rashi picks up on that right away, which means what?
That maybe Aaron's impression of what it was going to be and what the nation's response was different portions.
Very good, very good.
Again, proving maybe why he wasn't why he was to be the leader for them, because he was so off on his assessment.
He's off in his assessment of?
Of the situation.
Okay. Furthermore, Vayar Ha'am, who is the Am? How many people were actually involved in the Chet HaEgel? And we know this definitively. How many men? There are 600,000 men. Right? How many people were killed in the Magefa?
Or
how many?
80%.
3,000. No, when Moshe and the Levium, they killed all the people that were involved in Chet HaEgel. In the end it was 3,000. So you're talking about 3,000 out of 600,000? Somebody quickly do the math. Is what's 6,000 is 1%? 1/2 of 1% sinned in Chet HaEgel. What did everybody else do at the time? Nothing. They were innocent. Innocent bystanders? Bystanders? Right, they were bystanders. Who are these 3,000 people? We'll see. Okay. Kiboshesh, let's look at Rashi. Now, yeah, these are critical Rashis you have to be aware of. Kiboshesh Moshe. What does it mean, Kiboshesh Moshe? Kitargumo. Okay. Lashon Ichor. If you look at the Targum, it says, Bechaza Ama, Are Ochar Moshe. Ochar from Le'acher. Moshe Rabbeinu was late. V'chein Bashash Richbo. Who is that about? Anybody know?
His chariot
delayed. Who is that about? This is an important, it's important to know. In the middle of Shoftim, yeah? Whose chariot was delayed? This is relevant to Rosh Hashanah. The mother of Sisra wailed because her son's chariot was delayed in coming.
Right?
When he was dead, because Yael killed him. Because he tried to kill the Jews. Okay, Boshesh. Like, why is my son's chariot delayed? Anyway. Vayachilu ad Bosh. Okay. Ki, when Ban Nil Rashi. Ki kisha'ala Moshe lahar, amar lahim. Okay, the Midrash says that when Moshe went up to the mountain, he said to them, L'sof arba'im yom, ani ba, bitoch vav sha'ot. I'll be here at the end of 40 days within 6 hours of the day. Meaning, during the morning. So Rashi says that Moshe was specifically explicit about when he was coming. Kisvurim heim, they thought, sha'oto yom sha'ala min haminyanu. They thought that the day that he went up was included in the count. V'yom alilato ein leilo imo. But when Moshe was counting, he didn't count that. So here's what happened. Moshe Rabbeinu says, I'll be back in 40 days. And they heard, I'll be back on the 40th day.
It took more than 6 hours to put this whole label.
Hold on. Share b'zayin Sivan Allah. He went up in the 7th of Sivan. Meaning, because Vav Sivan, what was Vav Sivan? Shavuot. And then he came back down. They gave sacrifices. They had the whole coin thing, whatever. And then he went back up. Nimtza yom arba'im b'shiva asar b'tamuz. Right, this all fits in very nicely into our Jewish calendar. Right, in the 40th day, Shiva Asar B'Tamuz, and we know that Shiva Asar B'Tamuz was Chet HaEgel. Moshe came down and broke the Lucha. Remember, that's one of the five things that happened on Shiva Asar B'Tamuz. B'Yud Vav, on the Yud Vav, meaning on the 16th day of Tamuz, Ba HaSatan V'Irbev Et HaOlam. The Satan came and confused the world. V'Hera D'mut Choshech V'Afeila V'Irbuvia. And he showed them, and this is such powerful, powerful language, dmut, visions of darkness, and afela, and cloudiness, and confusion. Lomar, meaning to say, vadai met Moshe, lekach ba arbuvia laola. Moshe is surely dead. Meaning, the Satan came, and it was cloudy, and it was dark, and it was thundery, and just bad things, right. It's like a bad Harry Potter, you know, atmosphere, okay?
Mm-hmm.
What? You're missing a lot. Amar lehem, he said to them, Moshe, met Moshe. Moshe is dead. Shekvar ba ushe sha'ot velo ba. Can you hear Masechet Shabbat? Look at Masechet Shabbat, there's a whole long agadita about it. Why? It didn't take, how long did it take to build the Egel? He said, look, it's 6 hours on the 40th day. Where's Moshe? He's gone. He must be dead. And also, it's really cloudy and terrible. The E.F. Shalomar, Shalota Yom HaMe'unan, Ben Kodem Chatzot, Ben Lachar. It's impossible to say that it was cloudy and they didn't know if it was before the 6 hours. You know, they didn't have clocks. So they didn't know if it, like, because Shavei Lo Yarad Moshe Yom HaMacharat, Moshe didn't come down until the next day. Shnei Amar, as it says, Vayashkimu Mimacharat, they can't get up the next day, Vayalu Olot. And they offered sacrifices. So let's decompress the Rashi. What happened? How late was Moshe?
24 hours.
He was 24 hours late.
How could they have done this whole Iker in 24 hours?
That's a very fundamental question. Yeah. How could they have done this whole Iker in 24 hours? I want to talk about... What's that?
The seed of doubt must have been planted before.
Very good. The seed of doubt was planted long before. Meaning, what do you mean by the seed of doubt? He says, I'm coming down at the end of 40 days. And so what's the seed of doubt? When they say the Satan came and confused them, do you think that there was really a Satan, some guy going, he's never coming back? You know, is there really some Satan? What does it mean that the Satan confused them? Why would God? What? So what is the Yetzer Hara here? And this is such a powerful lesson for all of us. It's really, really important. And no one falls prey to this more than me. No, whatever. Doubt. Doubt and worry and anxiety and fear that our worst fears are going to come true. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And the leader disappears and it's silent.
Well, I mean, they're at the mountain. They're waiting.
Like not everything is what it seems.
Right. Like, unless Hashem was talking with flashes of lightning.
So let's say let me take Rashi's face out. Let's say it got cloudy one day. You know what I'm saying? It was very, very dark and cloudy. The weather was terrible that day. And it was cloudy and it was dark and it was dreary. Okay? What does that mean?
It was going to rain.
It means that it was dark and cloudy and dreary. Except, you know what I'm saying? We read into everything and we look at everything and we say, oh, what is the worst possible outcome that I could possibly imagine? That's what our Yetzer Hara does. And you say to yourself, oh, based on this worst possible outcome, it must obviously be true.
Yeah, especially if everybody's concurring with you.
What?
Especially if everybody else is concurring with you.
Right. And then, based on that, right, and you know what I'm saying? Then I see the...
Actually, next, what you're saying is right. It's like...
Pesach,
and
everyone goes to the park and starts complaining about Pesach, and then
it just like
exacerbates
and it spirals up, and you're just like hysterical.
People think,
God,
that's
what I'm going to
the
park.
What's
the complaint
about a Pesach? What's
wrong with Pesach?
Everybody,
cleaning,
cooking with
us, I just don't go to the park.
Oh.
Or
they're
already done.
Yeah.
That's
even worse.
And the things that you never thought of, somebody else will think of, and then you know.
But I mean, like, you're talking about things that are in your control, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, things that are not in my control, you know, yeah. Things that are between, that are really between us and the Ribbono Shel Olam, and Parnasa and health and well-being, and you know what I'm saying,
yeah.
And
yeah,
the future. 100%. That's exactly the point. That's exactly the point. Their reaction is completely under their control. Why don't we wait? Why don't we wait a day? You know what? What should Aaron have said? They're like, "Where's Moshe?" And he said 40 days. Wouldn't the answer clearly be, you know? Maybe he meant 40. Let's count the look at the calendar. Maybe he meant 40 days from now. Let's wait another day. Right. Let's wait one more day. And what did they say? No, they can't. They won't wait another day. Why does Aaron do what he does? Okay? Look at Pasuk Bet.
No, but why wouldn't they make the eagle?
Oh, I'm sorry. Let's look at one
40th
second.
Day.
Why would they?
When he didn't come.
They made it that second. Wait a day. Like, what's the rush?
How could they make it so quickly?
We'll see in a second. Asher helanu me'eretz Mitzrayim with this Moshe ish. Okay? This Moshe took us out. V'haya more lahem. One second. V'aznei par b'neshechem. Pasuk bet. Rashi and Pasuk bet. Take the things out of your ears. Amar Aaron b'libo. Aaron said to him. Hanashim v'hayaladim chasim b'tashiteihem. Women and children, they are very protective of their possessions. Shema yit akev hadavar. So hopefully the thing will become delayed.
That's what I'm saying.
And Moshe will come. And the man didn't knew that the women would never give them their stuff. They didn't wait, and they took it off from themselves. You notice you notice that distinction. That Aaron said, give me your wives and your children's stuff, and they didn't do that. The Midrash is much more generous both to Aaron and both to the ladies. Says the Midrash the following, okay? But Yomar Aaron said, give me your wives and stuff. Aaron thought the following. Lo nitratzu anashim liten tachshei tehem. Women are never going to give their jewelry to their husbands. Why? Amru lebaaleim, they'll say to their husbands, chas v'shalom, God forbid. Lo nishma lachem laten nizameinu lasot shikutz to'eva. What are you, nuts? Think we're going to give you our jewelry in order to make your disgusting idol? What? Yeah. She'en bo koach lahatzil. That there is no koach to save us. What, are you crazy? We're going to give you our gold. So Aaron knew. He said, oh, go ask the ladies. Okay. And the man went to the lady and said, quick, give me your stuff. And the women are like, what, are you crazy? So they're like, hurry up, woman, give me the stuff. And no. And what did they do? Okay. Fine, I'll give my own. It's like interesting, you know, they wouldn't do it.
But have the women already given their jewelry to make things in the Mishkan?
No, the Mishkan is not commanded yet. Chronologically, most say it's not. The question is, well, it's a big machloket. They didn't do the truma yet. The big machloket is, was the mitzvah of the Mishkan before?
I guess I'm wondering whether women are just been given the jewelry already for, you know,
the Midrash is much more charitable. I mean, and the Midrash says the following. God gave them reward. What's the mitzchar they gave them? What is the shayim? Atidin litchadesh brachshei chadashim kelevana zo. Right? In the schar in Olam Haba, they will be refreshed and renewed. Every Rosh Chodesh, the women will be refreshed. Like the moon. Like the levana. I don't know what that means, but you're all lucky. Okay? And then the Midrash says, this is on the Pirkei Rabbi Lezer. Kevan shira'u anashim shelo shamu. When the men said the women are not listening to them, then vayitmarku kola an mizmeh azahav asher ba'aznehem. Okay? Then he saw, right, then he took off all of the, then the men took off their jewelry and they used it for themselves. Okay? Skip to Pasuk Rashi on Pasuk Dalet. Okay? Vayatzer ota becheret. One second. The Rashi, I'm going to see Rashi. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. How did it happen? Okay. Cheret is a, one second, he made it into a dumut. Ego Masecha. Look at, see the Rashi and Ego Masecha and Pasuk Dalet? Rashi and Pasuk Dalet, the second Rashi, Ego Masecha, it's a ways in. Rashi says, Kevan shehishlichu la'ur bakur. Since they threw it into the fire, into the smolder, bo mechashfei erev rav. Okay, the sorcerers of the Erev Rav came, she'alu imahem mitzrayim, va'asuhu bakshafim. And they made it with their kshafim, with their magic. Okay, one second. V'yesh omrim micha hayasham. Some say there was a person named Micha, she'yatza mitoch d'musei binyan shedit ba'ech ba'mitzrayim. Okay. That this guy Micha, he had somehow squeezed himself out of the walls that he had been left to die in Mitzrayim. V'haya sham b'yado shem v'tas. He had a slip. Shekatav bo Moshe alei shur. You ever heard this midrash?
Yeah.
Moshe, when they were all leaving Egypt, right? Everybody went to get the jewelry. What did Moshe go get?
Yosef's
bones. So how did Moshe get Yosef's bones? The midrash says that Yosef was buried in a catacomb that Paro weighted down and put at the bottom of the Nile. So how in the world is Moshe supposed to get Yosef's casket out of the bottom of the Nile? So he took this petek, this little piece of paper, and he wrote on it, Aleishur, threw it in the Nile, blah, 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 kind of like the, you know, Hans, like the Luke Skywalker's thing, comes bubbling out of the Nile, right, and Moshe Rabbeinu takes it with him. Some guy came afterwards and grabbed that piece of paper. And he took that piece of paper and he threw it into the fire. And he said, Aleishur. Okay? V'hishlichu v'toch hakur, v'yatza ha'egel. The egel came out. What? So you ask, how is it possible to make the eggel in a day? What's the answer? There's some funny stuff going on. Right, you have the magicians, you have the shur, you have the, you know what I'm saying? And then, okay, look at Pasuk Hey, Rashi Pasuk Hey, Vayavo Aharon, Aharon came, and he saw, Vayar Aharon. Aharon saw Shehayabo Ruach Chaim. He saw this egel, this golden calf, he said it was alive. How do I know? Shneamar B'tavit Shur Ochel Esev. It was a grass-eating shur. V'ra'ashi Tzliach Maaseh Satan. And he saw that the Maaseh Satan was successful. V'lohaya pelit chotam legamre. Aaron was not able to completely delay them. Okay? Aaron, so the Midrash says, so interesting. Why did Aaron try to delay them? The Midrash says that Aaron first, it wasn't just Aaron. Who was Aaron with? Chur. The Midrash says, the Erev Rav came. The Midrash first of all says, interestingly enough, according to many in the Midrash, right, who are the Am? The Am were Erev Rav min ha'am, Uberasham, at their heads were two machshefim, Yonos v'Yombros. Yonos and Yombros, do they sound like Egyptian names? They do sound like Greek names. Right, meaning, right? Greek-ish names. Right? So like, meaning, what's the Midrash saying, basically? Who are always our worst enemies? Right, the non-Jews, the people that we join up with us. It's just very interesting. And they all say, make us a god, okay? Chor ben Miriam, ben achotosh shel Moshe, migdolei hador haya. Chor was like a gadol hador. Efreti shevet, right? And Moshe was there. Okay, when Chor heard this, he tchil go erbam. He started to rebuke them. Ubochicham bedvarim kashim. He started yelling at them. What are you, crazy? We're not going to do this. This is terrible. Go back to your home. Stop it. Amar lahem. He said to them, Arukei tzavar. You long-necked people. Don't you remember? What are you doing? What are you crazy? How can you do this? So they stood up against them and they killed them. We don't want to hear what you have to say. They murdered Chor. So when Aaron saw this, then they go to Aaron and they say, okay, Aaron, what about you? Are you going to make us this thing or not? He did it under duress. There's a big problem with him doing it under duress. What's the problem with Aaron doing it under duress?
That he's letting the nation influence him.
Yeah, the problem is he should have said, you know, like, even Ezra. Yeah, very good. Excellent question.
They were a minority.
You can't do it Ezra for...
Ding! Okay. Says the Ibn Ezra. He says, Aaron was afraid. That's what they say it. Okay. Alderech HaPshat. I'm reading Ibn Ezra just so he goes a long essay. You're not going to read the whole thing at all. Imase Egel Avodah Zarah. If the egel is Avodah Zarah, lama pachad Aharon shiyehareg? Why was Aaron afraid that he should be killed? V'halo metu acharav kamu chasidim miYisrael. Many righteous people in Israel after him died. Shelo higia ma'alatam lema'arat Aharon b'chasidut leparsat kafregel Aharon ayuchud Hashem. There are many people who later in history, they don't reach the ankle of Aaron and Yira in fear of God. He's Aaron. Let's remember, we're talking about Aaron HaKohen. And they were willing to give up their lives not to commit, not to violate Avodah Zarah. Now comes along the Midrash and said Aaron was afraid?
He must not have seen it as Avodah
Zarah. Ah, that's it. Ibn Ezra says, that's what he says. Right, he says, I'll tell you, that he doesn't see it's Avodah Zarah. Right? They were looking for a divine representation, a divine intermediary. It was just sin. But it wasn't Avodah Zarah. This is the way many say. So, we're left with a lot of problems that are not easily solved. But, well, that was scary. So let's just go on a little bit more. Okay? When Hashem says to Moshe, go down and destroy, and is, you know, maybe next year we'll go back to Moshe's response. Okay? Look at Perek Lamed Bet Pasuk Yud Tet. Perek Lamed Bet Pasuk Yud Tet. Why are you smiling?
No, I'm saying I want to carry on.
You can't. You can't do it all. You can't do it all. Sorry. Moshe's response is also amazing. Yeah, sorry. Okay, it's always good leaving you with more. Yud Tet. Vayhi kasher karav lamachane. Okay? When Moshe came to the camp, Vayara to Egel u'mecholot, and he saw it. he knew that there was an egel, but it's interesting until he saw it and the mecholot, the craziness. Vayichar af Moshe, he became angry. Vayashlech miyadav et haluchot, he sent from his hands the luchot. Vayishaber otam tachat ahar, and he broke them at the bottom of the mountain. We're left with a very fundamental question: what right does Moshe have to break the luchot? Who is Moshe to decide? God gave you the luchot.
Maybe it wasn't Moshe's decision.
Ah, so does it sound like that from the pasuk? What does it sound like in the pasuk? First we do the pasuk, then we do the midrash.
It sounds to me like he was just in shock, and he literally just threw them. Fell from his hand.
No. Vayashlech miyadav et haluchot. Vayashaber otam.
But he was,
and he broke them.
Shocked him outside that
window. I
always go like that. So whatever's in my hand is going to drop.
I think he was. It says he was angry.
Amar, ma Pesach shu'echad min ha-mitzvot, amar ha-Torah kol ben echad li'ochad, but Pesach is one mitzvah, and a non-Jew can't follow it. Ha-Torah kulo kan. I have a whole Torah in my hands. V'chol Yisrael mumrim v'akdan aleihem. They rebel against God, I'm going to give them this thing? Forget it. I'm destroying it. On the other hand, what does the Midrash say? What does the Midrash say?
It got so heavy.
What happened? Why? Why did it get heavy?
There was a nest that he managed to carry.
Yeah.
And the moment he saw it,
the Midrash says that the letters of the luchot sort of left him, that the Torah carried the stone. Remember, we talked about this idea that it was the combination of the two, mm-hmm. And when the spirituality left the stone, he couldn't carry it anymore, and he dropped it.
Say that here.
Of course not. But it's just an interesting dialectic.
Fit with the pshat.
Right. Meaning what? That the Jewish people were not on the level to have that symbol of spirituality and godliness within their midst. Mm-hmm. They weren't ready for it. And I think it goes back to this notion, where does it all stem from? It stems from, we see in the Midrash talking again and again, the Satan got to them. Meaning, in some ways, like, and this is something to struggle with also. Kadosh Baruch Hu lets the Satan do things. You know what I'm saying? Like, according to the Rashi, and Rashi really believed this, and it's how we have to decide for ourselves how much we want to take it literally. This Egel was a miraculous thing that happened that was on some level supernatural. It was alive, the Egel was alive. I mean, don't get me wrong, if I saw the Egel alive, I'd begin to like wonder myself. Nowadays we just say it's all special effects. But really? You know, if I threw in a petek and out came this Egel, there's reason to think, well, maybe this is really what God wants. Even though God said not. Maybe this is really what God wants. That the Satan plays with us. He plays on our fears. He plays on our anxiety. And Kadosh Baruch Hu lets him. And the strength that we have to find within ourselves is to find the emunah to say, even though things seem to indicate different than that which I want it to be, and that which I believe it to be in my mind, I don't allow my heart, I don't allow my emotions, I don't allow my passions, my anxiety, and my fears to overcome me.
Don't always believe what you think.
Don't always believe what you fear. Follow what you know. You know, and that's what emunah is all about, really. Right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu was testing the people. And it was because they failed. And I think that, you know, like, I just, like, you know, and I always try to tell you what I'm thinking about. I'm, you know, struggling with this thing, you know, like, sometimes it's good, sometimes it's hard. And when it's hard, you start to wonder, and you start to think, and you start to look at all the things that are not the way you want them to be and think that they should be. And our job is to say, no, even though the things, you know, they are just things. And the Satan is playing with me, and it's my job to say, no, I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And I will not allow myself to fall prey to the things that make me afraid, to the doubts and the fears that I have, because Moshe Rabbeinu is 6 hours late. Because in the end, that's really all it is. I'll stop here.